Hey everyone, my name is Zach, and thanks for checking out one of our sermons today. We are so glad that you're here, and we want to connect with you and your family. The easiest way to do that is to text River Church to 97,000. There you can ask questions, submit prayer requests, and even support the River Church financially. At the end of the day, we just want to connect with you and be a blessing any way that we can. You can also visit our website at theriverchurch.cc to learn more about us and what we have going on as a church. Thanks again for joining us, and we hope you are blessed by today's message.
Awesome. Good morning, everyone. Man, I was reminded as Roy was talking about that young man. I got to spend quite a bit of time with him in the last couple of years, and man, he blessed me so much. Just getting to know him, hear his story, hear what God was doing in his life, see what God was doing in his life, and just to spend that time with him. We're sad, but at the same time, we know he's with Jesus. And so we celebrate that he is with Jesus. And such an incredible memory I have. I wasn't expecting to talk about that, but as Roy was reminding me, I couldn't help but think about what a wonderful man he is and is with the Lord. And so just so grateful for that reminder. If you have your Bibles today, go ahead and open to Psalms 25. Psalms 25. We're going to continue in our Psalms series. I hope you've been enjoying. If you haven't, man, listen, I want to encourage you. You can take your phone out and download that app and at the River Church, and you can, they have weekly or daily devotionals, right? I'm trying to see if you can see this. You may not be able to see it. But right at the very beginning of the app, there is a spot for devotions. It's loading. It's going slow. You can trust me. It's there. There it is. Devotions. I don't know if you'll be able to see it, but right at the beginning of that app, and I want to encourage you, listen, we're walking through Psalms. So each Sunday that we are in a Psalms, listen, there's weeks of Psalms or daily Psalms that you can get into. Read those. Let those things encourage you. Let the Word of God encourage you throughout your week. It's a wonderful thing and a resource to have in your life just to read through the Psalms. And so as we hit these particular Psalms on a Sunday, right? It's not like these are better than any of the other Psalms, right? It's just where we're at and what we figured would be good for our body and our encouragement as we walk through it. Even though these Psalms were written, I mean, man, this is a Psalms that was written by David. It was written thousands of years ago. And it's easy to go, well, what's so relevant that was going on 1,000 years that it can apply to our life? And I'm telling you, the more I'm getting into these and I'm reading through and I'm studying, the application is so very, very powerful. And so today we're going to look at something that David has for us as he asks the Lord to teach him the paths of God. Now, as we looked at Psalms 23 started off with, my God, why have you forsaken me? Right? It is a moment of chaos, if you will, a moment of desperation where David is feeling isolated, alone, and he's questioning, God, where are you? We may not be in that environment. And then you go into Psalms 23. Did I say 23 for that one? I meant 22. 23, David goes and he starts speaking about the still waters, the green pastures, the place of confidence, this place of peace that David has, knowing who God is. Now, those extremes, right? Like, man, hopefully we can be always in the place of still waters and those green pastures, but we all know that we walk in those moments that are chaotic and fearful, and then there's the in-between. The in-between, the chaos and the calm, the everyday life. And I think that's where Psalms 25 really lands. How do we navigate the everyday circumstances of our life? How do we navigate what decisions to make, how to make those decisions? We desire to be pleasing to God. We desire to follow God. And this is where this application comes in. I don't care how old you are, how young you are, right? Desiring God's direction in our life, I think, as followers of Jesus, is something we want. Man, if you're in high school, you're probably getting ready to make some decisions, moving out into college and figuring out what career path to make, right? These are decisions where you're like, Lord, show me, guide me. Man, you could be moving into the next stage of life after college and getting married and making decisions about marriage and family and the dynamics that involve that. going into, hey, I'm starting to have kids, and the dynamic of parenting and all that's involved in parenting. You may be at the stage of life where your kids have now all left the house and you're an empty nester, or your grandparents, and you're like, man, how do I do the right thing in the day-to-day parts of life? And this is where David is going in Psalms 25. So this is something that impacts all of us. And so I wanted to come up with an illustration that would kind of help us navigate this psalm. And I had two in mind. One was this idea or this illustration of a blueprint. I'm in the middle of building a house for my parents, so I'm very familiar with looking at blueprints. But I realized real quickly, not everybody maybe understands how blueprints work. If you're not an architecture or a builder or somehow involved in that. So I wanted to find something a little bit more relatable. And I was actually going to an event with my brother-in-law and sister-in-law and my wife, and the illustration just came to me in that situation. The GPS. How many of you guys use the GPS, right? We have it on our phones. It may be in our car. Man, if you're old school, you may even still have a Garmin. I don't even know if those things are around or not, right? What do you do with the GPS, right? You're like, hey, I want to go to point A from point B, and you punch it in, you hit start, and it starts to navigate. Now, the technology now is so sophisticated, they can tell you if there is problems on the road, if there is construction or traffic, and it'll automatically reroute you. Anybody ever experienced this? To the positive and the negative, right? Like, man, listen, I'm going to tell you, I'm just going to make a confession. I hate the GPS. It drives me nuts because I never know if I can trust it. Anybody ever feel that way? My wife's very confident. She's like, hey, it says to take a right. Let's take a right. And in my head, I'm going, I know this road. I'm supposed to go straight here. Why are you telling me to turn right here? This doesn't make any sense. I've followed the GPS, and I find myself, we did this several years ago. We were traveling into Chicago, and Chicago can get pretty confusing, and you got to have the right directions. And man, I'm following it to the T because I have no clue where I'm going. And I'm starting to look around, and I'm like, where are you taking me? This does not feel safe at all. I'm driving more. I'm like, man, I got my wife and my kids in the car. I'm like, I'm asking Liz because she's my navigator, right? She's actually the one looking at the GPS. Are you sure these are the right directions? I have no idea where we're at. This does not feel safe. This does not feel comfortable. I'm a little scared right now. Roll up, and there was a bunch of people in the road. I think it was like a motorcycle gang or something. I don't know. Maybe I was just making it up in my own head. I was terrified, right? The point is, sometimes the GPS leads us in places we're not comfortable. We're scared. We're terrified. We're uncertain because we don't actually know where we're going, right? Sometimes the GPS is going to tell us to take a right-hand turn because it understands, hey, there's something in front of you that you're going to need to detour around. It's for your benefit. It's for your good. But oftentimes we find ourselves in this place where we're questioning the GPS. And man, sometimes that illustration of the GPS is exactly how we relate to God Himself in the day-to-day, right? Sometimes God's going to throw things at us and it's going to cause us to take a right-hand turn. And we have to stand in that place. And this is what David's going to really lead us off in right off the get-go is, do we trust God? And when we say we trust God, are we just looking for directions how to get from point A to point B? Or do we actually trust Him to form us, to shape us, to mold us to the person He wants us to be? See, David's going to go deep in this illustration of the GPS because it's not just about getting from point A to point B. It's the path along the way and allowing God to form and to shape and to mold us along that path. To really fall back onto this understanding of, do I actually trust God? Because see, trusting the GPS, man, when I'm going south on 75 and it's a straight line and it's telling me to follow that road for the next 100 miles or however long I'm driving, that's easy. Usually 75, once you get out of Michigan, it's pretty smooth, right? I don't know if you've driven down 75 lately, but there are some big potholes going southbound right off of Corona Road. Watch those things, they'll get you. My point is, usually it's a safe, straight, you're confident, it's good, it's going the direction you want to go, that you're comfortable with, you're familiar with, let's walk that. Trust comes a factor when it starts to deviate from what you're used to, or where you're comfortable, or what you understand. And that's really when this element of trust comes into full circle. And so we're going to look at what David leads us and walks us in through Psalms 25. So let's start with just a word of prayer, asking God to be with us this morning, leading us and guiding us. Father, thank you so much for this day, this time we have, Lord, to gather together. Lord, I know that many of us live very, very busy lives, and there's a lot of things going on, a lot of things we could be thinking about and planning and orchestrating, even in our minds. Lord, I pray that as we open your word, that those things would drift away, Lord, and we'd be able to focus exactly on your word. What David walks through, and then what he tries to teach us and help us understand in who you are and your character. Lord, I'm so grateful for these psalms, these words that David has penned, for us to not only recognize who you are and your character, but that we can apply them to our lives in the day to day. Be with me this morning, Lord, as we walk and navigate these passages. I pray that I as a person would be removed and you would be glorified. I ask this in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Let's start where David starts. He goes right from the beginning in Psalms 25. I'm going to read the first three verses. This is really David reaffirming his trust in God, his confidence in who God is. Now, if you go back to Psalms 23, that was all about what David was saying. Psalms 23 is David's confidence in who the Lord is. But I love, as David is navigating and requesting directions from God, he goes back and affirms how confident he is in God. Take a look. Verse 1, to you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, in you I trust, David declares. Let me not be put to shame, he says. Let not my enemies exalt over me. Indeed, none who wait. Now circle that, because you're going to see that theme play out in this passage. None who wait for you shall be put to shame. They shall, in fact, the opposite, they shall be ashamed who are wantonly treacherous. I think what David starts with is so incredible. David doesn't say, hey God, I trust you with my decisions. I trust you with your direction. No, he starts at the highest level of trust. I trust you with my soul. That is a deep level of trust. David isn't saying, hey, God, I will take your advice when it's convenient. I will trust you when it works for me. No, he's starting off at the very beginning when he has this conversation and he's starting this song to say, God, I trust you. I lift up my soul to you. You are, in fact, my Lord. He says it, O Lord, right? That word Lord is easy for us to kind of misunderstand or not properly apply. When David says, Lord, O Lord, my God, he is saying, I am in full surrender to who you are in my life. I surrender everything I have, all the way down to the very core of what makes us, my soul, do I give and lift to you. That's a pretty powerful place of trust, do you not think? Wow. Obviously, he affirms his trust by saying it very clearly, in you, I trust. See, that word trust is more than just, I believe or I think. This is a place where he's saying, you are who I rely on. You are who I depend on. God, I am placing this weight of my soul into your hands. Now, if we're honest with ourselves, for just a moment, this is where control becomes a hard thing, right? Because most of us want to go, no, I only trust my decision-making. I trust what I am comfortable with. And David goes on as he talks about this, and he speaks about, let not me be put to shame, David isn't talking about this in terms where the road is straight and narrow and comfortable and easy. David is laying this out, and he says very clearly in that text, "Let not my enemies exalt over me." David's under some kind of daily routine pressure. The day-to-day. Doesn't that become pressure sometimes, right? The day-to-day can be exhausting sometimes, right? David isn't sitting there saying, "Man, I'm living in the high seat. I'm comfortable. I've got everything under control." No, he's acknowledging, "Man, I'm still under pressure even in the day-to-day." And then he says this, "The one who waits for you shall not be put to shame." We don't like to wait, do we? We can be honest. It's okay. Man, I am very impatient. Just as a person, right? Like, I want to know. I'm a planner. I like to have a pretty clear picture of where things are going. Man, and if I have to wait, oftentimes it's an agitation for me. But here, David is so confident. His trust in God is so there that he's like, "Man, I am going to wait for what you have for me. I'm going to wait and trust that whatever you have for me, it's where I need to be." It's like the GPS. You know, sometimes my GPS will make me sit in traffic. Oh, man, it's so tough. Because I'm like, "Man, GPS, you're smart. You could have given me a detour. Why am I sitting in traffic right now? This is so aggravating. I'm a constant mover, so just to sit in a place of traffic, right? Like, that's hard for me. I'm like, "Man, there's got to be a quicker way." I'll ignore what the GPS says. It'll say, "Just sit here. You're only going to be in this traffic for like 5 minutes. You'll be okay." I'm like, "No, there's got to be a quicker way." Maybe it's just me that does this, and I start looking at the roads around and how I can get around all this, and, "Man, let's take this road," and I'm detouring on my own because I know better than the GPS. And I find myself going off into all these roads and then find out there's one-way roads that I didn't pay attention to, and now I got to go further. Next thing I know, I spent 20 minutes off the freeway, and I could have been where I was going had I just sat there and waited through the traffic. A lot of times, that's like life, right? Like, we experience the same kinds of things. Sometimes God says, "Just wait. You'll see my hand at work. Just wait." And what do we want to do? We want to take control. We want to go before God. We want to say, "No, there's got to be a better way." And we start navigating and trying to create our own path with our own understanding without the understanding and wisdom of the Lord. What David is doing here is this. He's helping us understand where his confidence is and that he is okay even in the periods of waiting. The waiting season, which is often very difficult for us. And David goes on and he starts to say something that's very powerful and very clear as he moves into the next passages from verses 4 through verse 11, verse 10. David acknowledges something that's very important. I need God to lead me. Now, we can say that. We can say, "Hey, God, I want you to give me direction." If you're a young student, "Man, I'm going to college," or "I'm going to figure out what's going to happen after my high school graduation." And you might be sitting there saying, "God, I want you to lead me, direct me, guide me." Those are good things. Maybe as you're moving on into from college, you're like, "Man, I want to be in the career, the job. God, where do you want me to get a job?" Maybe you're in that stage in life where you're like, "Man, I'm about to get married. I need the right spouse. God, I'm about to have kids. I don't know what I'm doing." I don't know if anybody's ever felt like that. I know I did. My oldest was coming into this world. I remember telling Liz this. "I have no clue what I'm doing as a dad. I'm going to screw this up. I guarantee it." Right? We're looking for those directions in life, and maybe you're after that. The kids have moved out, and now you're like, "I'm back with my spouse and my wife, and man, we've had this distraction in our life called kids, and now I got to figure out how to make this work again." I'm not there yet, so I'm speaking out of term right now, but I've heard this is something you have to work through. Right? Maybe you're a grandparent and you're like, "Man, I want to be involved in my grandkids' lives, but I don't know how to do that well." Or, "Lord, I need you to guide me. I need you to direct me." See, we want God's directions, but in all of those decision-making processes we walk through, one of the things we have to not ignore, what David tries to help us see and understand in the Psalms, is it's not just about getting to the destination, it's about being formed during the process. And I want you to see this in verse 4. Look at what David says, and look at what David is acknowledging in his trust in God and his desire to have God lead him. Verse 4, he says this, "Make me to know your ways. O Lord, teach me your paths. Lead me in your truths and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. For you," here it is again, "for you I wait all the day long." David isn't rushing for an answer. He's saying, "Lord, I want to know what is good for me, your paths, your ways, your truths." Notice he doesn't say, "God, I want you to give me the direction for my truth. God, I want you to give me direction in my life that will suit my path. Lord, make my way very clear to me so that I know I should walk in it." That's not what David says. He's in that place of surrender that we see from verses 1 through 3 where he's like, "God, you have my whole soul. My soul is in your hand. I trust you." So instead of me rushing to destination A or destination B or wherever it is in our lives where we're rushing to, David says, "Lord, I'm going to wait for you, for your path. I'm going to wait for you for your ways. Lord, I'm going to wait for you, for your truth to be known to me. Help me know what is your way, your truth, your understanding." He goes in as he continues and he's like, "Man, I'm going to wait all day if that's what it takes." We can be honest and say that's not our natural response, is it? Someone says, "Hey, I want you to wait." We're like, "Oh man, they're indecisive." That's often what we think. "Oh, you can't make a decision quick enough. What do you got to think about? It's clear, can't you see? We should go straight instead of turning right." I don't know how long ago it was, we were on family vacation, and we were going to stop by a Buc-ee's. Now, you may not know what a Buc-ee's is. It's just a big, glorified gas station. It's really cool. If you've never been one, I want to tell you, you should probably experience it. And learn, it's more than a gas station. I'm really downplaying it when I say it's a gas station. So we were going to go see one in Kentucky. And so Liz is my navigator, punch it in the GPS, let's go there. Now, all the way to it, there are signs that say, "Hey, this exit is where Buc-ee's is," right? Like you see these billboards all the way to it. And Liz tells me, "Hey, this is where we're going to get off." And I'm looking at the exit number, and I know that the Buc-ee's exit number is off. And Liz is telling me, "Hey, this is where our GPS is telling us to get off." I'm like, "Man, something's off. That's not right. There's no way this is. I know where the exit is." I'm going to make up a number because I can't remember the exact. Like 213, and here we are getting off at 210, something like that. I'm like, "There's no way." She's like, "No, that's where it tells me to go." "All right, Liz, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to trust the GPS." It's really not Liz. It's the GPS that I have to actually trust. Liz is just the navigator. She's just the one communicating it to me. Get off, go off on the highway. It feels like we're going the wrong way for like several miles, right? Like, get off, turn, take a left. I'm like, "Man, where is this thing taking me?" We're out in the middle of literally like cornfields. And I'm like, "This has got to be wrong. Are you sure you put the right address in there?" All the doubts come, don't they? I'm like, "This is nuts. This is crazy. Where are you taking me?" We get to this turnaround, and I see the Buc-ee's on my left after like 5 minutes of being on these back roads. And I look to the left, and just past the Buc-ee's is the freeway. And I'm like, "See, we could have just taken the freeway. We would have been here already." And then I got closer to Buc-ee's, and I saw the big, long line of all the people trying to get off the freeway to go to Buc-ee's. And I'm like, "Oh, that's why it told me to go that way. You see, oftentimes when we're trying to figure out the decisions in life, and as David is being very clear here, the waiting process, sometimes we don't have all the information. And that's hard for us to admit. That's hard for us to grab a hold of and acknowledge. And so as we're making regular, everyday decisions, sometimes the waiting on the Lord is, in fact, the hardest part. But sometimes that waiting leads us and directs us into a place that's far better for us. As David goes through this, he goes in the next verse, verse 6, he says, "Remember your mercy, O Lord, and your steadfast love, for they have been from of old." See, David refers to and reminds himself of God's character, that everything that God is doing is for our it's reflecting his character, his steadfast love, his mercy is who God is. Then verse 7, he does something that's pretty interesting. "Remember not the sins of my youth or my transgressions. Again, according to your steadfast love, remember me for the sake of your goodness." See, one of the things that David acknowledges as he's walking through this seeking of God's direction, one of the things he does is he goes, listen, here's the reality. If I am going to actually submit my soul and my decision-making to God, then I have to actually acknowledge that I haven't been doing that in the past. If I'm actually going to trust God, that means that there are some decisions that I've made that are not right. I have to acknowledge that there are some parts of me that are prideful and arrogant that say, no, this is what I want you to do, God. And what David is doing here is he's saying, hey, listen, Lord, even though I'm sometimes a stubborn young man, think I know it all. Anybody ever been there? I know I was. Right? Think I know it all. Lord, forgive me. Forgive me, not because I am like this genius guy in the guide, not because I have it all figured out now. No, forgive me because, God, I want you to remember me, not my failings. Remember me as your son, as your child, as the one that has lifted up his soul to you to care for and direct and to lead. See, what David is doing is he's moving to a place of from a place of surrender to a place of humility. And as he does this, you're going to see what God's response is to the humble. Look at what he says, verse 8. "Good and upright is the Lord, therefore he," that is God, "instructs sinners in the way. He leads the humble in what is right, and he teaches the humble his way." What is David acknowledging? Listen, if we want God to direct us in our life, where we have to start is this place of surrender and this place of humility. God, I don't know all the answers. It's really a place of saying, God, yes, I surrender my life to you. I surrender my soul to you. Lord, I want you to shape me, to mold me. I am under surrender to you and your decision and your ways. And then David goes, ah, man, I haven't always been in this place. God, I'm sorry for my stubbornness, for my arrogance. God, I am sorry for my ego and my pride. This is powerful. David is moving from a place of surrender to acknowledge this place of humility that he walks in. And the Lord responds. Look at this. The Lord, he says, instructs the sinner. Because we're broken and sinful, God isn't sitting there saying, hey, I can't help you because you're not perfect. I love that David is including this. What God says is, I don't need you to be perfect. I already know who you're a sinner. Is that me? That might be the enemy. Did I just lose my mic? All right, we're good. Sorry. Where was I at? Right there. Is that going to continue, you think? Kevin, if it is, I can go to a hand mic. Can you hear me? Ooh, there we go.
Hey, that happens. Technology. This is why I don't trust GPS. That was perfectly timed. I didn't even plan that. So where we're at, we're this. Where David's walking is in this place of humility, right? Where he recognizes, I'm a sinner. I need God. And look at how God's response is. He's not coming to David saying, man, David, till you figure it out and you're perfect, then I'll lead you. Then I'll give you the instruction. No, what does he say? He says, Lord, you lead, you instruct sinners in the way. While we struggle, the sinner, right? That's all of us. We have to acknowledge that. God will still lead us in the way. Look at this. He leads the humble towards what is right, to what is right. He teaches the humble his ways. Man, if we're going to ask God for direction in our lives day in and day out, we have to walk this example that David gives us. First surrender and then humility. And then look at what he says in verse 10. He says, all the paths of the Lord are steadfast love and faithfulness for those who keep his covenant and his testimonies. This one hit me, because sometimes when we're walking, right, and we're taking these paths that the Lord leads for us, sometimes, just like that example of when I was in Chicago and I'm looking around and I'm like, man, this is terrifying. This is not comfortable. There's something off here. I don't know what's happening. This is not the route I normally would have picked. But what does David affirm and help us understand and see? He says, all the paths, even those ones that don't make sense, all the paths point to God's steadfast love and his care and his mercy for us, his faithfulness to us. So even though we're walking a path we don't see the end of, even though we're walking a path where it might seem scary or uncomfortable and not something we would have picked ourselves, maybe not the decision I would have made, we can be confident that God is in all of his paths, that they are rooted in his steadfast love and his faithfulness for me and for you who call him our Lord. As we continue in the Psalms, we see something very powerful and profound. David is, again, coming to that place of humility where he is acknowledging who God is in his own life, in the day-to-day. He comes back to this place in verse 11. He says, for your name's sake, O Lord, pardon my guilt. Pardon my guilt, for it is great. See, this is a place of a man who knows he's not perfect, who knows his own ego, his arrogance, who knows his own tendencies to want to take control, and he's putting himself in this place where he recognizes, even in that, Lord, I know I have sinned against you, so I need you to forgive me. My sins against you are great. Pardon me. Pardon my guilt. And then he moves into this, and I want you to see this. Who is the man who fears the Lord? Him will he instruct in the way that he should choose. His soul shall abide in well-being, and his offspring shall inherit the land. And I want you to see this in verse 14. The friendship of the Lord is for those who fear him. And he makes known to them his covenant. Verse 15, my eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he will pluck my feet out of the net. Turn to me and be gracious to me, for I am lonely and afflicted. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. Bring me out of my distress. Consider my affliction and my trouble, he says, and forgive all my sins. Consider how many are my foes, and with what violent hatred they hate me. Oh, guard my soul and deliver me. Let me not be put to shame, for I take refuge in you, David proclaims. May integrity and uprightness preserve me. Here it is again. I want you to see this. For I wait for you. for I wait for you. Listen, what David is saying is this. In my day-to-day, there's something profound here that's happening. What David is saying here, this is not soft language. David's not making any excuses for himself. He's coming right to the place where we all need to be, this place of humility where we say, God, you are great and I am not. God, you are my Lord and I have surrendered to you. Forgive me for being contrary to you and not submitting to you and trying to form my own path and make my own decisions. Lord, forgive me for not allowing you to mold me and shape me and make me to be in your character and your likeness. I have fought that. David's not sitting there saying, man, I've made a few mistakes. Man, I've had a rough season. That's not what David's saying. David's saying, man, my guilt, it's great. He's recognizing how contrary he has been walking against the Lord. See, we want God to guide our future. We want God to be a part of our decision-making. That's normal. But oftentimes, we don't want to deal with what's actually inside of us. This pride, the sin against God. I love that David is trusting God's character more than his own record. Amen? Amen? I love that God is trusting God, or that David is trusting God's character more than his own record. Man, that should be a level of confidence that gives us the hallelujahs and the amens, right? When we acknowledge that, man, if I had to stand on my record, I'd be in trouble. Thank God that we can rely on his character and who he is, his faithfulness, his love, his steadfast love. Something really interesting that's happening here. We see David has walked in surrender. He has been taught. He's being led. He's being established. We saw him experience closeness with God, being friends with God. And there's something that happens here that's very interesting. In the midst of this, in the midst of David's surrender, David has asked for forgiveness. He's walking in humility. He's literally being led by God and his ways, his truths, and his path. David is in a relationship with God. And I want you to see this. Even in all of that, he still finds himself in the place of being overwhelmed. He still feels exhausted. His heart is heavy. He still has troubles. He still has foes that hate him with a violent hatred. So what does David give us in the midst of that, even in the realities of life, right? Like we can relate to this. This is something that we can all grab a hold of and understand in our lives. Man, if you're just graduating from high school or you're a young adult trying to figure out the next step, that can be overwhelming and exhausting sometimes. But where does David tell us to go? Man, being an empty nester or being a grandparent, being a parent, man, that can be overwhelming and exhausting and difficult. Where does David tell us to go? I love this. Look at what he says. He says, guard my soul. Go back to verse 1. God, I've given it to you. I need you to guard my soul. Lord, you deliver me. Lord, I am taking refuge in you. Let me not be put to shame. Look at what he's saying. David's not taking control back in those moments. What is he doing? He's leaning in deeper. Say, God, you have my soul. I trust you. See, the whole Psalms that is right here that David brings to us is this. Man, it starts with trust. Trust leads to surrender. And after we surrender, man, listen, it leads to seeking his ways, his truths, his paths. And when we do that, listen, when we seek his ways, that's going to force us to be honest with what's inside of us, our sin, our ego, our pride, our control. And when we deal with that, what does it do? It leads us to this place of repentance. And when we repent honestly and we're open to God, it brings in real relationship with Him. And that relationship, when we have it with God, this is what's so powerful. When we go through the difficulties of our life, the hard decisions, the routines, the just the normal everyday, day in and out life decisions, what sustains us? It's God. When life's still hard, what does David say? Go back to God. When things aren't clear, the GPS seems a little off, what does David say? No, you can trust Him. He's got my soul. This isn't about just getting to a destination. This is about trusting the one who's forming me and shaping me on the road and on the path. See, if I'm going to walk with God in a relationship with God, I have to trust Him. I have to surrender to Him. I have to allow my life to be shaped by Him. I have to be honest before Him. And I have to depend on Him every step of the way, even when it's not clear, even when it's terrifying, even when it's scary, even when it's uncertain. David brings us back to this. God is dependable and reliable because all of his paths point to His character, His faithfulness, His steadfast love for each and every one of us.